Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, June 27th, and we're back. I'm in a shitty mood, but that's okay because things will improve shortly. That's why I do this show, because it picks me up in the morning.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hi, Danny.
Hi.
All right, guys. We are on Facebook Live today because we have a cool guest, and we wanted you to be able to join in the studio. Most of you listen the audio only, and that is fine. But if you want to see us, and you can always do that later too, if you don't have Facebook open, you just go to LA Talk Radio's page, and there we are.
I know, I'm sharing it right now.
Cool. So, we do have a guest. He's going to come on in just a second. Danny, did you hear that Michael Jackson's father died?
Yeah, I saw that. Literally just as I was walking up the elevator.
Yeah, he's dead at 89. I'm wondering if his nephews are going to be here today, because they have a show here, you know. Tito's sons.
Oh, really?
And their show is on Wednesday.
I would imagine no.
Going to come in, huh?
I would think not. You would think that that family's kind of messed up, aren't they?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not in a position to pass judgment on them. But those three kids are amazing. They call themselves 3T Jackson.
Yeah.
Because they all start with a T.
That's interesting. And that's kind of clever.
But I think they'll come for their show because their show is about grieving and things like that because their mother was murdered.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, a long time ago. I think it was a drive-by, something like that.
Like a shooting?
I don't know what it was. Yeah.
Wow.
So they have a show. They talk about grieving and losing people and things like that. So they might actually do the show today. I don't know.
That's a tough situation. I don't know. I don't think I could be able to, maybe like a week or two, I'd be able to talk about grieving, but not. I mean, it depends how close they were too.
Right. I guess they're keeping the memory of her alive, you know. Mm-hmm. They get a lot of people calling in who have lost dear ones and stuff.
Right.
So. Yeah, they got a pretty nice following too. So Joe Jackson dead at 89. He was kind of a controversial figure, right?
Yeah, I think everyone in that family is controversial, though.
Right, right. But look, I mean, whatever he did, he made stars out of his kids, you mm-hmm. know? So I don't know at what price it
sounds
what
like
cost.
A manager, though, yeah. Not a dad.
Well, we don't know what he was like.
89 is pretty good life.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, I don't know what he was as a dad, but I always remember reading some negative things about him. You know?
Yeah, but we can't believe everything we read.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You have no idea. He could have been, like, the best dad ever. The media just wants to run with the fact that he's, like, a monster. You just never know.
Yeah, you never know. But mm-hmm. we're not going to start rumors here about monsters or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just do your own research. Today you can research everything, right?
I mean, terminal cancer is not the ideal way to go, that's for sure. But 89 is a good life, but who knows how long he was sick for.
Oh, is that what he had?
He had terminal cancer, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cancer sucks, like they say, you know?
Yeah.
Do you ever wonder how you're going to go?
I don't want to know.
No?
I know. Some people go to like psychics and they ask the psychic, like, hey.
That's bullshit.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think bullshit. Every psychic is bullshit.
Well,
this one that came to the studio for sure is. We should have her back just so I can tell her she's full of shit.
Yeah. I want you to talk to our psychic Rebecca, though. She's, everybody swears by her, so I don't know.
Is she on at night?
Yeah.
I tell her I'm going to come in next week.
Yeah, you should come on her show. It's
but I just don't want to. I don't want her to tell me anything negative.
Okay, tell her.
I don't want to know.
I don't think they usually don't tell you.
No, they do. Things. Okay, do so they? My old roommate, the one that used to live in Boston, she goes to the psychic back in Boston, and she said that three girls from her hometown went to go see the psychic, and they did the palm reading, and the first girl went. She goes, "I'm sorry, I can't read you. I don't see a future." The second girl went, she said, "Sorry, I can't read you. I don't see a future." The third girl went, she said, "Sorry, I can't read you. I don't see a future." And they like freaked out on her, called her a scam, asked for their money back, like threw stuff at her. And on their way out, when they were driving home, they got hit by a Mack truck and all three of them died.
Wow.
So ever since she told me that, I'm like, I'm good. I don't want to go to a psychic.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't want, I don't even want to get like creeped out. Well, I told you I went like 6 months ago with my friend.
Right.
And the lady was like, are both of you getting a reading or just one of you? And I was like, I'm not doing it. And she goes, you need to leave the room. And yeah. I said, why? She goes, there's such a bad energy around you. I can't even do her reading with you standing here. And I go, am I dying? Please tell me, am I dying? She goes, no, fuck? But someone put a curse on you.
Whoa.
Then I met this Lebanese guy who came to my apartment. First time ever meeting him, he goes, hey, I don't want to freak you out, but somebody put a curse on you. He goes, you're great, but there's an aura around you that's really bad.
That's bullshit.
I don't know if it is, Sam.
Listen, people don't have superpowers, okay?
But do they?
No.
Okay, but how can you? How do people come up with so many movies and concepts if none of it is true?
None of it is true.
So you don't think there's any ghosts, no vampires, no nothing?
Vampires, no. Ghosts, I don't know, but I don't believe in it. But, you know, maybe the souls and shit like that, that I'm on the fence on that one. But as far as vampires, not in a million fucking years. You believe there's vampires?
I don't know about vampires.
Okay.
I don't know about vampires, but I definitely believe in ghosts, 110%.
Yeah.
Okay. Without question, without doubt, there's definitely ghosts. And I definitely feel like I've lived before.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I feel like no matter when my life ends, I'm going to find Gabby again because I think our souls are matched.
Mm, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's so much into it. Like, you would really have to do a lot of research, which I'm not doing. So.
Well, nobody knows. Nobody's ever going to know because nobody ever came back, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing is that I do believe in the soul. I do believe in things like that. But ghosts, I don't know.
So you never been anywhere where you like got like haunted?
Never, never.
Like, ever in your life? You've never stayed at a hotel?
Never.
A door open and nobody else is? Never in your life, Sam.
I'm telling you, I think it's all bullshit. Because normal people, it doesn't happen to.
I don't believe that. I don't know if I believe that.
You know what? We'll bring on our guest now because he does have something to say and we don't want to keep him silent. We're joined by Mr. Thomas Wood. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hello. Hello.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I definitely have things. Man.
So what do you want to say about what you were just saying?
Okay.
Get closer to the mic, though.
Okay, so as far as parental stuff and grieving, I mean, it took me years before I was normal. But then again, mine was like a really slow watching my dad die for a while.
Was it cancer?
No, he had a traumatic brain injury and was like basically a brick for a while. They said that he was completely non-responsive, except every time people would leave the room, he'd respond just to me.
Whoa.
And then that kept going on, and this went on for like so long that Google thought I worked at the hospital.
Really?
For years.
Whoa.
And
were there so often.
They kept treating him like a potted plant, as they do pretty much everyone in a coma. At least that was my observation.
How did he get in a coma, if you don't mind me asking?
He fell backwards off of a crossing over a stone set of steps, hit him on the back of the head. So it was sudden. He was about 63 years old, and that happened. I was very close to him at the time. He was in amazing shape. Like, I always felt like a wuss whenever I'd hang out with him.
Right.
Like, he'd do 10 miles a day of, running and stuff like that before he would start his workout. Like,
jeez.
He lived out in this area, and I'd run into him, like, Newport Beach and stuff like that without a car. Like, he didn't have a car.
Oh my god.
just running or bicycling or whatever, and it was insane. But even then, I mean, you know, like 8 months into it, I remember sitting there basically figuring out how to pick the lock on locked in patients,
right,
and get a response out of them. I started waking people up from comas that were in the same room.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
As far as the existence of a soul and stuff, I can say it with pretty much absolute
confidence
that there is a lot of stuff that we cannot yet measure.
Right.
I'm not saying that it will never be measurable. I'm saying that, you know, X-rays were voodoo too before we were able to prove them. In Pop's case, I mean, I've got witnesses to this. I went into a room and his eyes were like glazed over and doing that corpsing thing where...
I know what you're talking about. Like,
yeah,
I've seen it in movies for sure.
Yeah, where like the eyes are starting to go blue and everything.
Yeah.
And so getting that film over them. And I had a conversation with him where I literally, you know, because I was sensitive to it, I talked him back into his body, basically, and I saw his eyes just back to back to brown. Right. And there was that. There was a bunch of other stuff, and I dealt with this for years. And as far as other stuff, like, I mean, when your parents go, you're forced to look at their life as a whole, not as a part and any particular incident that happened to you. If you haven't experienced it yet, one day you will, and the only other option is that one day your parents will experience you leaving, which is even worse.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but you know, the thing is that it I would wish that people, even before you died, would look at you more than just one or two instances, you know?
Of course.
That would look at you as a whole.
Right.
And that's the problems I'm having with my kids right now, but we're not getting into that.
We all make mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. We say shit, and kids remember.
Well, also,
they remember everything.
Yeah, we do.
Part of the secret here is picking up the ball, like not letting it just lay there, not just deserting. Oh, no, things are hard, and you're out the door.
Right.
It's you have to, like, oh, well, I mean, and even if you as a parent or as a kid screwed up, you've got to pick up that ball and go, oh, own that, move on.
Right.
And God knows my dad did. I mean, we had, when I was 24 and dealing with my father, most of his friends didn't even know he had a kid.
Oh, wow.
Cut to, by the time he died, I dropped everything I was doing, my entire job, career, everything else. Flew about 1,400 miles to his bedside to watch him die. But it wasn't really to watch him die. At first it was to watch him die, and then when I realized he was still in there, to try to make him live. And I got him to the point where he was talking again. Uh-huh. But then they botched a surgery that he went through, and they killed him. I'm not totally sure it was by accident, but there's nothing I can prove.
Yeah.
I don't really be trusting doctors and hospitals, man.
Well, I'd gotten him to... They kept going, oh, it's reflexive, it's reflexive. And I got him to finally say, I'm awake, directly to the doctor, who was... confidently, repeatedly saying every day,
right,
he's in a coma, there's nothing going on there. Meanwhile, like, he leaves the room, and I'm guiding my dad's finger through a chessboard as I'm, like, moving the pieces around, and I went to go make a stupid move, and he wouldn't let me do it. And then I realized I was about to lose my queen. I was like, okay, so Pop's alive and well enough to play a game of chess.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Better than me.
Right.
And they were like, no, there's nothing much left of him. And I'm like, well,
you should have moved him.
Yeah.
You should have moved him to a different hospital, maybe.
You know, finances being what they are.
I know,
are,
and it's so expensive.
And they make that on purpose, because that's a meal ticket to them.
Mm-hmm.
For every person they keep in a coma that's sitting there, it's like 10 grand a day.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's crazy. It's insanity how much it is.
Flip them about twice a day and hook them up to a machine. It's nuts.
Yeah. All right, well, let's change the topic from death and sickness to something a little more cheerful.
Excellent.
Right.
No kidding. None of that crap. We'll all get there.
Yeah.
Now, so this voice is Thomas Wood. Tell us a little bit about what you do, Thomas.
I'm a professional comedic juggler and fire eater, although you'd never be able to tell it from this particular conversation. I make people laugh for a living.
Really? Wow.
That's true, actually.
So but that's fascinating. So tell us about the fire and the juggling and all that. So you actually eat fire with, like, swords and shit like that?
I mean, I've seen, like, it in, like, movies and stuff.
Right. It's much different up close.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole thing I do during my actual act, I prefer live performance rather than, like, anything filmed, because there's something about someone standing close enough to you that you can feel the radiant heat off the fire,
right,
and deal with them on a person-to-person level.
Right.
Part of the secret.
It's also more real. I mean,
right, exactly.
In front of you.
Exactly. And that's part of what I provide during my show, is I shatter that fourth wall to such a degree that even if I'm dealing with a stadium of people, I've been told that they still feel like they're in their living room with me.
Really?
Right.
So, yeah, it's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get into it?
How'd I get into it? Well,
and how does your mouth not, like, burn?
It burns every time.
Oh, really?
Really?
Can you, like, every time. Have you lost, like, sensation in your mouth yet?
I have before.
And you get it back? Is it just like getting fuzzy tongue if you drink a hot coffee?
It's a lot like that, actually.
Yeah.
I have actually burned off the salt receptors on my tongue once.
What does that mean?
Your tongue has different sections of it that taste different stuff.
Oh, and so you can't taste salt anymore?
During one particularly bad spot, some of my taste, like part of my tongue actually came off.
Oh my God.
And I lost the ability to taste salt for a while until it grew back. And I went out to Germany and everyone's like, oh yeah, no, the local stuff is great. Here, have a beer, have some sausage. And without the sensation of salt, beer and sausage, holy crud, they're nasty.
Really?
Well, beer is nasty to begin with, but salt is glorious.
I don't see how I could get along without salt.
Oh man, it was like a sausage without the sensation of salt is like the nastiest rice cake you've ever had in your life.
I mean, yeah, because sausage is really salty.
Yeah.
Even if you put no seasoning on it, it's like a pretty salty thing.
Right.
I can't imagine. I put salt on everything.
So you're sitting there chewing on it. It's like you're chewing on your tongue or something.
Yeah. I actually met some. I didn't meet him, but I worked with this lady whose husband got into a skiing accident and he lost his ability to taste and smell. So she said when he eats, it's literally just to survive, but he can't taste anything.
Yeah. Right.
I can't imagine. I can't even imagine going into a restaurant and not being able to smell like the steak coming my way.
Right.
You know, I wonder if you lose your sense of taste if your other senses sharpen, like a blind person gets better hearing.
Well, he lost his ability to taste and smell.
Right. So I wonder if the remaining senses.
Oh, like if he can hear like from like 10 miles
right,
away.
Exactly. Like suddenly is he a
there's a truck
cracker,
coming.
You know?
I doubt it very much, but who knows?
You never know. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I don't ski, folks.
Mm.
Yeah.
There's been so many ski accidents. Like, I feel like anytime we hear about skiing, it's like somebody got into an accident.
I have a friend that could totally teach you.
Nope. I'm all set. I do want to go to a cabin and like hang out in the jacuzzi. That's as far as I'm going when it comes to skiing or snowboarding.
All right. If you ever make it down to Texas, you're welcome to our jacuzzi.
There's a no snow in Texas.
Not true, actually.
People ski in Texas?
It exists, but it's not common.
Yeah, I was like
I've got on my feed, I've got the time it's like I'm close to the Gulf Coast. I mean, like I'm right there.
Wow. Yeah. And I've never been to Texas, so I have no clue what the Gulf Coast is.
So where in Texas are you?
Like, I'm just outside of Houston.
Houston, okay.
Plantersville. There's this area where a bunch of
sounds like people have got murdered there. Right? Doesn't that sound like something like that would be in a horror film?
Pretty much everywhere in the U.S. someone's been
there. Yeah, that's true. It's very true. So is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre like a real thing?
It was based on a guy.
Yeah.
Leatherface, right?
Relates to movies, right?
I am. I'm so into it.
Yeah.
I always like find that so curious. Like if people just like were okay with this guy just roaming around Texas. I'm like, why didn't y'all just kill his ass?
Was that based on a
true
story?
That guy is
his face is
doing what he did. You know, I mean,
he could have been tortured or something. But
still, the guy that does a comedy piece on like, so what you're saying here is if Hitler's walking down the street, you wouldn't kill him? It's like, well, no, because I've been wrong before.
That's true, but not about Hitler.
Yeah, I know, but like the punchline on his thing is like, he looked like Hitler. Yeah, a little.
Oh, you mean like looks like Hitler.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's on my land. So,
what are you showing her? What
his
are you showing
land.
Her?
That's on my land. It's different from what everyone pictures when they look at Texas. It looks like a story.
I mean, that looks like something that would be in like Connecticut.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like I live in like a pine belt type area.
Yeah, I was gonna say when I think of Texas, I think of like desert.
Here's me doing what I do.
Well, with your fire. Now tell us a little bit about. Wow, that's a lot of.
Yeah,
fire.
I was like, where do you put that?
Yeah. So
in
tell
the
us
air,
what the process is for someone who hasn't seen you before. What do you do? Do you put any? Do you put like any fuel or anything in you?
So in your mouth I do. I there's this running theme in my show where things can be faked, but that doesn't necessarily mean they are.
Right.
Like magicians,
right,
they fake a
right,
lot of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's actually a whole piece on my I don't know how to do some magic tricks. I wouldn't call myself a magician. In fact, there's a piece during my show where I specifically talk about not being a magician.
Right.
And there's a repeating theme in the show where I'm sort of the opposite of a magician. When a magician plays his trade, you walk away from it thinking to yourself, maybe I saw something that was impossible happen.
Right.
What I do is I do everything right there in front of you, tell you how I'm doing it the entire time. By the time I'm done, no one believes me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Like, I mean, like, I don't know if I would believe it. Sometimes even when I went to Hawaii and I saw a fire eater.
Right.
And I was like, nah. Yeah. But it was just like how I just don't see how you can physically survive it.
Yeah. Just accept it going in.
Yeah.
But it's just like,
you got to see my show. I mean, you really do. Cause I talk about this whole thing for like half an hour.
Have you ever seen it in person?
No, just the Hawaii thing.
But, yeah.
But no, never really saw it in person. But that's fascinating, you know. So when did you get into that?
92, I saw a pretty lady do a fire show, and I turned to my roommate, and I was like, wow, I'd really like to learn to do that, the fire. And and within about 3 days, out of the blue, this guy shows up on our doorstep. I'd really like to learn contact juggling, which at the time was this type of juggling not a whole lot of other people did. But I can't give you any money, but I can teach you to eat fire. And I was stuck kind of looking at this guy going, I guess I'm supposed to do this.
Yeah.
And then, that's crazy. That's actually like...
Fell into his lap.
Yeah, like meant to be kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I was already a juggler.
Yeah.
And that in of itself is its own thing too. The fire stuff actually doesn't take as long to learn as the juggling stuff.
The juggling, really?
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, I've been hurt at least equally juggling.
Are you serious?
Juggling's hard.
Oh. Yeah, well, no, I mean, you take a machete to the face, or you take a...
Oh, my God, yeah.
Because you're juggling, like, real ass shit.
About
or you take, like I think the worst I've ever been injured was, like, out of all the props, and I've got, like, these balls and these knives and explosive powder and all this stuff. Out of everything on the table, what do you think, you know, has drawn the most blood, and no one ever gets it?
Right. Probably the powder.
It's the ball.
The ball.
The ball has
like the powder. I went for the like most unrealistic.
Yeah. So there's this trick where I start out the show and I do this thing where I've got like all three balls in my hand and I jump and flip. And as I'm going, you know, like end over end, all three balls go behind my back and land on my feet and the wind balls sort of bola themselves out. I can start juggling them from there. And there's this whole speech on it. But as you do it, there's this moment where you're kind of disoriented because you've just gone end over end and you're trying to do this thing quickly. And I had a gig where I was facing west and it was towards the end of the day. And I did the jump, the roll. I came up and the balls are all clear acrylic, so they look very light, and one of them wasn't the ball, it was the sun. So I grabbed the sun and it was too far away and very hot, and at the last second I recompensated to get the ball and slammed it, and it's like armor grade acrylic, into my cranium, and had like a boxer cut develop right over here, so you'd like it's like hanging open. I still did the show too, and it was, I've later found out that my first, like a couple rows in, there was like a bunch of doctors, and they're looking at it going, wait, do we stop this? Okay, let's keep a really good eye on him.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Very cool. So that's what you've been doing. You've been performing.
Yeah.
In the past several years, I guess.
About 25 years. I've been making my living almost exclusively as a juggler.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So where do you perform where people pay you?
Right now, I'm looking for gigs. But I just finished a 5-week stint at a Renaissance fair in Corona, California, Coronaburg. And that's the closest thing I've got to family on circuit, because I've been doing that show for like 20 years.
Really?
But I do everything from trade shows to events to gala events that sometimes they'll call me in like as a quick, you know, like 10 minutes of... of performing piece. Here's your money. You made everyone laugh. Now hit the road. And I'll dress everything from like, you know, like old school sideshow with like a top hat and, you know, vest and everything to, yesterday I was dressed as a German middle class, had a hat probably about 10 feet long that kind of wrapped around me. And
that's a German hat?
Not really, honestly. I should really, really do more homework on what I've
I wouldn't
going
even know,
there.
So.
Well, I mean, I've got friends that are really into it. Yeah. But I've got so many gigs and so many, like, venues. I mean, like, in a few days, it's not my gig. It's I'm along for the ride. It's a bunch of pirates out in Long Beach.
But they're not real pirates?
No, yeah. No, no.
That, are there even
more,
any,
that'd
like,
be more
real
of a Somalian theme. Oh, really? Yeah, we're actually...
They are, like, the Somalians.
Yeah, so,
oh, really?
So there was the golden like, age of piracy in, like, the 1700s.
What's
so.
The point of a pirate?
It looks different, though. They steal
the
from other ships, yeah.
It's,
that's literally, hey, I'm a pirate. Like, I'm going to go steal some shit. That's
they
literally
do,
their
yeah.
life.
Right. Piracy is a real crime today.
Yes,
like
yes.
That, and it's not even a small crime. It's like we're arguably in the piratical peak of history.
That's so weird to me.
There's more of it going
on
right
now. They use, like,
power
boats and shit like that. It's not like the old pirate.
And they have, like, guns and knives, and they just hop on?
Yeah.
Do they kill everybody on board, or they just take the stuff? Wow.
Or they'll take hostages.
Or enslave them.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
That's the other thing, is that slavery is illegal, too, right now. But
yeah, I mean, it, as it should be.
We statistically have more slaves globally right now than ever before.
Really?
So that's who knew? Oh, you mean, like, with the immigrants at the border?
No, illegally.
Oh.
And they exist. Go look it up. It's kind of a trip.
Mm.
And it's horrific, but there it is.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, there's a lot of shit going on in the world.
That's
can't
why I don't take
everybody.
Cruise ships.
I'd rather
that's
make why, people laugh.
Right.
Same.
And that's why we're grateful to live in this great country, I'm telling you. Now, I wanted to ask you the juggling. How long did it take you to be real good at it?
Okay, so there was a natural ability. Talents. Okay, so here's the thing about talent. You can practice and get good at, you know, better than you were at anything. Talent is sort of a mediator on how far you can go.
Right.
I'm a medium level professional juggler as far as the dexterity goes, but as far as crowd manipulation and messing with people goes, that's where I'm an ace.
Really? So you are a magician, but in a different way.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, you still like... because it's just like those mentalists we had here.
I always think of them when we talk about magic.
Right, so right. They're not like really magicians with stuff, but they do tricks that you
right.
can't figure out.
Well, okay, in my particular case, remember I said that there was a repeating theme?
Right.
So while I'm getting people to my show, one of the things I'll do is I'll take a absolutely filled to like the rim glass of like a wine glass uh-huh. and... balance it on my head and just go over to people and talk to them like it's not even there.
Really?
And just like, you know, talking, doing my thing, you know.
Moving around.
Right. And running up and down stairways, stuff like that.
Wow.
And part of the art of it is if I run through a crowd like that and people are with me, and this has been going on
so
for
you
years.
Like glue it down?
No, I actually do it. And part of the... like, you got a wine glass? I'll do it now.
No, I wish I did. And I wish it was full.
But part of the art of that is that I can do it all day. And you walk through a crowd and most people will be arguing about how I'm faking it.
We always think of faking it. Like
right.
even though
and
the mentalists.
That's part of the repeating theme in my show.
Yeah. Because right. even though we had mentalists here and they proved to be accurate in their, in the back of my head, I'm like, okay, so how did they figure that out?
Right. But that's the thing I realized with them, though, is that in order for you to enjoy it and to be entertained, you don't.
You have to suspend your disbelief.
Exactly. You don't ask how do they do it. It doesn't matter because once you find out,
it ruins it.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm saying it's like a natural instinct to, in the
course.
Back of your head to be like, but how did you just do that?
Right, because it's like outside of physical nature.
Like when he guessed Spartacus as my show, like how
nice.
On earth did you know that?
Well, here's the thing. You can fake most of the stuff out there, but that doesn't mean you are. Occasionally you'll run into someone that's just not faking it.
That's why I think sometimes psychics are real. Some of them. I think some of them are fake.
I know for a fact wasn't doing... She wasn't a con artist. Whether she was accurate or not, she believed she was. She also died of about 8 brain tumors.
Really?
Yeah, Karan Ladinsky. She was this Russian lady
eight
that I
brain
worked
tumors.
For like, a long time ago.
That's wild.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to invite Rebecca Fearing, who is our psychic, okay? our in-house psychic, if you will. She's considered very good. She's been on TV shows and everything. I want to bring her on here, and for a whole hour, I want to see if she's right about anything.
Yeah, about me.
She's very popular, though, let me tell you.
People, but being popular and being accurate are two different things.
No, but
sometimes accuracy is just a guess, and sometimes you've got
it. Right.
Yeah, sometimes I do believe that, and they just guess correctly.
There's someone out there that actually has it right. I mean, back in the MySpace days, I have a hobby once in a while of just creeping people out because it's funny. Yeah, you go like hug someone or something and you go, oh, you smell so much different when you're awake.
No. Oh my god. it's part of
the character, but the playing around with it, one of the things I did back in those days was this pretty girl on my, where are my keys, she posted, and I said, underneath your bed, in the red pump, your left pump, and it'll be underneath the side that you sleep under. It was just totally a guess, and she flipped because I was right.
Really?
Oh my god, that's weird. Were you stalking her though?
No, I had no idea. I just pulled that out of the ether. But she'll be messed up for.
Yeah,
that's true.
I'd be totally skeeved out, like totally freaked out. Yeah. Do you remember MySpace when you had the playlist and you put your favorite song first? And when people go to your page, the song is playing.
Oh, the pages looked horrible.
A
million things on them, bells and whistles.
You have the wall,
right?
You had your top friends that you placed.
Actually, I've got a video on there that I want to retrieve. Can you even?
You
still
have
that?
No. I don't even know if MySpace is even. Do they even?
Does it exist?
I'm gonna tell you right now. Actually. Right now.
Not anymore, no. I don't think they have anything.
I think they deleted everything. I think they deleted it.
Oh, well. So, where did you grow up? In Texas?
So my family, both sides of it, were from that area of the country, and then they moved out to California around the same time. And then my parents met out in California. Mm-hmm. And then later in life, like, my grandmother brought me back to Texas a couple of times, and I kind of blew it off for the longest time, and I ended up working there about 10 years ago. And
MySpace doesn't exist.
No.
Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, the URL works, but it's just like news articles. It doesn't have like the login, the password. Like, you can't do anything on it. So
that sucks. I shake my fist at them.
I mean, that guy from MySpace was supposed to be so upset because he's like really had a good thing going. And then Mark Zuckerberg came through and was
poor
like,
Tom.
Boop. Yeah, Tom. That's his name. No one even remembers his goddamn name anymore. Tom.
But he made a lot of money, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. Hopefully he was smart with it. And he's like living on a beach somewhere. Mark Zuckerberg is like, but even like Snapchat.
I wonder if Tom has a Facebook page.
Right.
He probably does.
But no one knows Tom's last name. It's just Tom. It's like Tom.
Nobody welcomes you.
So funny.
Because if I was that guy, I would totally do it after a while and just mess with people.
Did you guys ever see the Facebook movie?
No.
Yeah.
You saw it, right?
Yeah, social network.
Social network. First of all, I love that actor, but he disappeared after that movie.
Which one?
The one who played Mark.
Jesse Eisenberg. He's all over the place.
Really? I feel like I'd never see him anyway. But that movie.
He's the best actor ever.
I love him. I actually do really enjoy him. But that whole situation, although it's kind of a semi-true story, he really did his friend dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's not that nice of a guy. Just because he invited Facebook, he's not that good of a guy.
Well, at least that's the way they portrayed him in the movie.
But he allowed them to tell that story, so that must be what happened.
I don't know if he allowed them to.
Mm. You don't always allow people to say stuff.
Is it like legal to tell a story if you're still alive, though?
Yeah, if it's true.
Really?
Yes, the truth is absolutely a viable defense against libel.
Right.
Like, you know, if...
I mean, mind you, his friend got a great payday, but he's not getting any residuals from all like the new money they're making.
No,
right.
No.
And he was like the main, he basically discovered how to do it. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
So you really can't even trust anyone when you go into business with them.
Yeah.
You just never know.
I mean,
well, it depends who it is. Yeah, but
don't be terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Would be terrible.
Like the guy from Victoria's Secret.
I don't know. Enlighten me.
Okay, so there was a guy, he invented Victoria's Secret, and it was doing really, really terrible.
He's the one with the secret.
Yeah, pretty much. So he sold it to, like, this random guy, And as soon as he sold it, the market value went all the way up and it became like this huge success. And he ended up killing himself.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You see, you never know what goes on in people's minds. You know, it's unbelievable. So going back to that, you grew up in California then?
I grew up in California. I was born in Bellflower and then Long Beach for my first few years, then Huntington Beach, and then...
I love Huntington Beach.
Yeah, well, that was home. It was a lot different than it was in the 70s.
I haven't been there since I haven't been there for like 6 years, but I did like it.
There was a couple years where I spent as much time in the water as I did on land.
Right.
And then I moved up to Tahoe when I was just a preteen, and then grew up in this beautiful, mountainous area, and did a lot of outdoor stuff, a lot of running, a lot of, all the things.
I'm not into outdoor stuff.
So you lived in different places and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're talking about the 70s and the South Bay and stuff. Do you remember the Quaaludes? Did you guys do the Quaaludes?
I was a
the
preteen.
What is a Quaalude?
They were like, they called them 714s.
I've heard of it.
Right.
What is it?
Okay, those were like tranquilizers in pill forms that people would buy illegally, you know.
Sounds awful.
It was like $10 a piece. Why? It would make you so...
We're talking about it this long later. It had to have not been that awful.
No, I'm telling you. Right. And you saw it in Wolf of Wall Street.
It's a drug.
Yeah, it's a drug.
Right.
Okay, so people are taking K now. It's probably the same thing.
Maybe, but...
It's like a horse tranquilizer.
What I've read, no, it's not the same thing.
No. Yeah.
I mean, that one would just make you, knock you out, but in a way that... You're you can barely move, but as far as sex and everything else, music was amazing.
So it's like a weird form of ecstasy.
Maybe. But ecstasy is more like a speed, right?
No, ecstasy is like, no.
When I took ecstasy, it was like I had to pee every 5 minutes, you know? I felt my whole body is rushing.
That's not the normal reaction to ecstasy, I don't think.
Okay, well, maybe they gave me something
else. It's a great drug. I have to pee now.
I did. I swear to God.
That's my hobby.
Every 5 minutes, I have to pee.
I don't know. I all of that sounds so unenjoyable to me. Not into it.
Did you see Wolf of Wall Street?
I actually have never seen
that movie. So it's worth a watch.
I'm going to watch it.
If you saw how he was crawling to his car and everything, that's pretty much the way Quaaludes.
But why do,
that does not seem like a good time, or at least unless you have a specifically safe place.
Yeah, exactly. No, you sit at home, you're with a woman.
But why would you want to do that?
Because it's drugs. It felt good. It felt really good.
But dragging yourself to the car does not sound like it feels good.
No, well, you didn't do that. I mean, but because he overdid it.
Yeah.
He
took, back then, I was more like a runner.
Yeah.
I went.
You had to take half or just one.
Right.
But in the movie, he took a few, I think.
I went to the club this weekend, and people were literally taking K. In the club. I'm like, why?
What's K now?
K is, it's called K, but what it basically is, it's horse tranquilizer.
Ketamine.
Really?
Ketamine, yeah. So basically, it's from people that have told me they've taken it, it feels like as if you took a tranquilizer. Why do you want to feel like that in the club?
Not in a club. No.
Everyone takes it in the club,
really?
And they all look almost like zombies. Like, I'm like, y'all are freaking me out. Freaking me out. Smoke a blunt. Have a tequila shot.
It's like, hey, we're in this great place. Let's trank me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it doesn't last long, I guess. It lasts
I'm telling you, the chloroform,
5 minutes.
It's more of a trend.
That's all? That's all? Oh, my God. Those lasted days.
Well, I think cocaine, too. People are doing 15 to 20 lines a night, and it's only because the high doesn't last long.
Right.
And then when you start to come down, it's ugh.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, of y'all look like shit.
I never liked cocaine. I did it a couple times, but I never actually bought any. Because I didn't feel it was good for me. It just made me too hyper. Then I'd need three joints.
I can't even picture you hyper.
I'd rather just have some laughter and some sex.
Yeah.
Smoke a blunt.
And that's good with every drug.
Yeah. Smoke a blunt. Drink a shot of tequila.
It's its own drug, man. People will go a long ways for a laugh and for sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's true, yeah. So, and you also do comedy, right?
Of course.
So,
actually, the show itself, juggling the fire eating, and I also occasionally get because if someone hands me a mic, I have discovered in the last few years that I really do have the ability to hey, and I had an MC freeze up on me up in Central California, and he, we're there's some pyrotechnics that are supposed to go off in back of us, and everyone's like scrambling trying to fix the thing.
Right.
And he's like there for like 10 minutes and it's not working, and he finally like freezes up, turns the mic off, looks at me like a deer in the headlights, and just before he turns it on, he's like, quick, do that thing you do. Hands me a mic, and like for 20 minutes, I'm just doing that thing.
Really? Wow.
So I can.
Yeah.
I absolutely can.
Yeah. When did you first develop an interest in that? I mean, you consciously decide...
Public speaking slash comedy? Yeah. Or, well, I mean, they're both.
I feel like you have to be good at both.
Yeah, when I do public speaking, it is comedy. But my particular style is all... Go serious, funny, serious.
Yeah.
Just boom.
Right.
And because I feel that personally that style grabs them by the brain a little bit. And
yeah.
Might, who knows, maybe even get something done.
Yeah. Now, public speaking, what do you refer to?
Oh, heck, I don't know. I've done
Where do you do public speaking?
It depends. I mean, who hands me the mic? Who hires me? Who right. does whatever?
But like, for what instance, events,
okay,
for example.
Like I did a gig, it's a long time ago, but it's the one that comes to mind. I did one in New Hampshire where I was at this university, and they at first had me just doing the juggling and fire eating, but then... As a filler, they had me answer a bunch of questions, but the rabbit hole that they opened up ended up being like more interesting than the juggling. So
yeah, right. So you pursue that direction. That's interesting. Now, and back to the fire, because that's a fascinating part of it. Well, I'm not asking you to give away any trade secrets or anything.
There really isn't one.
Really?
You actually do it.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean...
So how come most people can't do it or won't do it? Or
I mean, would you want to do it?
They lack the cojones.
If I could do it, I would.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm so good.
If I want to taste salt.
I mean, I can teach you, but you have to accept going in, you will be burned.
That you will be burned.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you might not be able to taste salt. How long did it take for your taste buds to grow back?
I don't remember. It was like 20 years ago.
Oh my God, I thought you were going to say 20 years. I was like, oh my God, that's awful.
No. I think it was like about a month-ish.
Oh, that's not that bad.
I was also going through like a bunch of dental work and stuff like that. So
yeah,
it's a little fuzzy. There was like, I'm afraid of the dentist. We'll just hit you with this stuff so you don't remember. And 3 days later, I'm like, where am I?
Yeah.
My teeth are better.
Yeah. I hate the dentist too.
Let me ask you this. So you actually do it, but the fire doesn't really touch you, does it?
It does.
It does?
It absolutely
So how come
does.
It doesn't burn your hair, like your facial hair?
Spoiler alert, there is actually a line about it in my show where like I'm doing this and I've kind of pushed the envelope. And those of you professional fire eaters out there will actually recognize this too. It's like... Yes, the mustache and beard are a personal challenge to myself. I'm Cherokee and Asian. You have no idea what a time investment this is. You know? And it's true.
Yeah.
Wait, so I don't get it. I'm so confused.
What don't you get?
Okay, so you have facial hair to protect your face from...
No, I have facial hair as a personal challenge to see if I can still pull it off with enough skill that I don't burn it off.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
It's like having a catcher's mitt with Fabergé egg like attached to the catcher's mitt and trying to catch it without shattering the egg.
But how do you not burn your face, though?
You do.
Scorching.
Okay.
Like,
you know,
burn
how,
unit.
But he can't give us a trade secret, right?
No. I'll give it away right now.
Really?
Okay. You see how this is a little bit longer than this one?
I know he's talking about his mustache.
No, not for you. For the audience, I'm saying.
Oh, right. Okay.
Because part of this burned off just a little bit. There's also, if you'll notice, there's like a little bit of unevenness in here.
Yeah.
In your beard or, whatever.
That's been burned.
Oh, wow.
I heal very fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't have like any like 90 degree burns or anything.
90 degree? No. That'd be a burn at a hard angle.
What? I'm just saying.
Sometimes you just have brain farts like I wouldn't believe.
Isn't that what they're called?
No, third degree.
Yeah, third degree, 90 degrees.
First degree, second degree, and third degree burn.
Right, I'm trying to find a good picture. Of
90 degrees is an angle. This is 90 degrees.
Oh my God, he burned his nose.
That wasn't all. Yeah, but yeah, you keep like,
who's that? Somebody else?
No, that is me.
That is you.
That's you. It doesn't look like you.
That is me.
Wow. He's got fire on his tongue.
Yeah.
On his tongue, in front of his eyes. I mean, this is like,
every time I think of a fire eater, I think of that scene from Aladdin, the movie, where he's fire eating. And then someone bumps into him and he swallows it and just burps up smoke. I'm like, oh my God.
That's cool. But
that's wild.
So yeah, I mean, if there be any doubt, that's,
but you're not afraid you're going to screw up once. Only takes a screwing up once, right?
And you go in knowing that. Yeah. And you go in accepting.
So, I mean, when all this
So you live on the edge, huh? Do you live the rest of your life like that, too?
No.
Well,
I mean, you take a lot of risks. I've made a living for, like,
25 years plus as a professional juggler and fire eater.
Right.
You have to be able to put in the practice, have a really good time. You have to love it.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to. But if you're going to stay sane, you have to love it.
Yeah, right. Well, that's with everything you do in life,
right,
pretty much.
Right,
you say?
Right,
yeah, yeah.
And I, you know, like there's part of my show during the juggling show, which everyone assumes is going to be the less scary of the two. No, it's way more scary. By the end of it, I'm like juggling machetes over my face.
wow.
Like this way. And
that's crazy.
And
nope.
It's not like I'm faking it.
Yeah.
But I'm good at dodging.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty impressive. Oh, that's all I can tell you, man. Thomas Wood, we're almost out of time. How can people book you? How can they find you? Where do you lurk these days?
Where do I lurk these days? Okay,
I'm going to use that from now on. Where do you lurk?
You mind if I steal that? Because that's awesome.
I'm stealing it as well.
I don't know where it came from.
That was impressive, sir.
I'm going to use that on everyone.
Okay, so normally I'm in Plantersville, Texas, but I'm I work all over the country, basically anywhere I'm hired. So like there, I have a passport and I'm not afraid to use it.
Awesome. So, and how could people find you?
Pyrojuggler.com. PYROJUGGLER.
Pretty much describes you and what you do.
Exactly. That was the idea. You can also find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. Love to hear from you. Love to see you.
So all the Instagram and them are all Pyrojuggler?
Right, right. Well, I also occasionally get hired as a photographer as well, so there's that. So, you know, people know me as that under the business name, and then I do other stuff.
Wow.
Right.
Very cool, man. Very cool. Well, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having
me.
I'd love to come back sometime.
Of course, you're welcome back anytime.
All right. I'll
and whenever
you
you're
it.
Back in town, and you know,
awesome.
So you going back to Texas after this?
I love Texas, but it tries to kill you in the summer.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I heard it's hot there in the summer.
Holy
for sure.
It's not just a normal hot. Like, you shower and then go to the shower door inside, and you need another shower.
Yeah, that sucks. I mean, sometimes LA is like that, though. There's some
it's
days
true.
That are unbearable
it's
here.
It's true. I mean, right. people like to go around the country. Oh, in California, the weather's great. It's like, the frickin' Donner Party happened in California.
Yeah, so it depends where you live. Yeah,
yeah.
You know.
So did Death Valley.
I need a tan, though. I'm so ready for warm weather and the beach.
You look
all right,
great.
Go get a tan.
Well, I'm dog sitting. I'm fostering a dog for 2 weeks.
What type of dog?
American Bulldog.
Yeah, there you
and
go.
He's old, and he doesn't like other dogs, so it's going to be a challenge, but...
We've got a dog cat. Our cat thinks it's a dog.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A lot of cats are like that.
Well, I got a new cat in my house, and I'm not getting used to it.
Yeah, you are, kind of.
I like him, but, you know... But
does
all
he
the
like you?
All the side effects.
What are the side effects of fur?
The hair, and yeah.
Is he, like, sleeping on the counter yet?
No, he's not, but he found places to sleep.
Yeah.
Anyway, folks, thank you all for joining us on Facebook
much,
or on the website or on our app, wherever you find us. Thank you so much. We'd love to have you here. And Danny, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And you last posted a picture of your ass on Instagram, I noticed.
I did, yep.
Yeah. But
and you notice
I don't
that?
Know why.
You notice that a regular picture gets like 2,000-3,000 likes. A picture of my ass, 11,000.
Really?
What the hell, man? I mean, wow. Granted, nice butt, but geez.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
I'm sitting there working on composition and the lighting and getting
exactly.
everything perfect.
She just put a picture there. You try to figure
but
out.
But the weird thing.
Is she wearing panties or not?
The weird thing is like I get followed by 77% female and only like 23%
male. You know,
I've
noticed that too. My lady is, she's beautiful.
Right.
But I've noticed that women are a lot less shy about saying it than men are.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, folks, we're totally out of time. Thank you all. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.